Okay, all right, so we'll go ahead and start with class. So I'll give like maybe 3 to 5 minutes of lecture just to contextualize what we'll be going over today, and then we'll get going with really doing the work. First off, let me back off and say that kind of a very, very broad level of looking at what, in a sense, I'm trying to accomplish in these classes is I want to educate you just enough to where you're really motivated to then go do the practices and then get the results. So let's go over that again. So we want to, there needs to be enough education to where you can really understand what you're doing, also kind of modify what you're doing and in such a way to bring about the positive results at the end. But before we get to the positive results, we need to practice. And before we practice, we need motivation. And in order for us to be motivated, we need a sense of like a good enough, doesn't have to be perfect, but a good enough understanding of what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it will bring about those positive results. So let's just reiterate that. We're doing a bit of education right now to support our motivation. The motivation supports the practice. And then really, in some ways, the quality and volume of these practices is what brings about the results. So the results are just, you know, greater happiness and wisdom, greater ease, and a healthier set of implicit, like a healthier working model for self and world. Okay, good. So that's like super broad. The next piece, let's talk about really what we're doing. So now we're getting into the actual education piece. So let me first define a term, schema. So schema is just it's kind of what you expect from the world and then how you respond. And this is kind of at the implicit level. And this is in an emotional learning level. This is not explicit, cognitive, or narrative. This is at the emotional level. This is what you've been taught to kind of expect from the world. And it tends to be pre-conscious. Okay, good. I think that's somewhat clear. And you know how it is like, I'm sure every single one of us on the call have some situation where we act in a dysfunctional way and we know, and we've already learned cognitively, okay, this is dumb. This doesn't make any sense. Why am I doing this, right? And you know better, but you know, you still do the thing, right? And it's a common experience, right? Well, so there we're seeing how like you can have the kind of implicit emotional learning there, and it can be at odds with your cognitive knowledge of things, but still the kind of emotional learning, the emotional conditioning rules out, right? And again, just to reiterate, it's before, well, I don't want to say it is before the conscious mind, but I think it's useful to think of it as being before the conscious mind. Okay, that's all good and well. So what are we doing in these practices? It's very, very, very simple. We're bringing up the negative learning, the negative schema, the maladaptive schema. We're getting triggered. And the research seems to point that you want to make the learning labile. Like you want to emotionally activate. And then what we're simply going to do, and it's so simple, we just repattern over it with something positive. And it's not just something positive, rather it's something very relevant and positive. So for example, these techniques might work if you like bring up, I don't know, shame, and then just imagine yourself eating ice cream. It would probably work, maybe, I'm not sure. But what we do is instead we bring up a very relevant and appropriate kind of calibrated positive experience. And what that will look like in today's meditation is in the case that you work with shame or defectiveness, it's being seen, being received in this experience of shame, then being told, no, 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 there's nothing shameful about you. You're absolutely wonderful. And we're going to receive this from our inner responsive parents. And then that simply repatterns over it. So again, we bring up the old schema, we trigger ourselves to where we're really feeling it emotionally. And then we have a a countervailing, a dissonant experience that patterns over this earlier one. And thereby, in a sense, we push out the old negative learning and we're just left with the positive learning. So that's basically what we're going to be doing today. Oh, and then just one other point is that, you know, if it's real trauma, you don't have to go back into the actual traumatic memory when we get to it. So let me just say that you will kind of like feel into the schema. You'll go back into childhood when you, in a sense, like learn that emotional learning for the first time. You think it doesn't have to be quite right, but if it's trauma, don't go straight into it. And then also today we'll be repatterning it, but then we'll go back and touch back, see if there's still any activation left, and then repattern it again. But all that will be clear as we go. So, alrighty, let's get going. All right, so sitting up straight, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. Starting to settle in. And so what we're going to do now is take three deep breaths. So go ahead and inhale very deeply and then retain the breath. Retain it below the navel. And now exhale. Now really extend the length of the exhale. And now inhale very, very deeply and then retain. And you feel like you're retaining the breath below the navel. Exhale. Really extend the length of the exhale. And now inhale deeply again. Retain the breath. Now exhale. Extend the length of the exhale. Okay, good. Now we'll do a body scan, but first, let's make sure the posture is right. So it helps if the hips are tilted a bit forward, the spine is straight, the neck is elongated, the shoulders are back and down. The chest is up and out just a bit. The chin is slightly tucked. The tongue is resting at the top of the palate behind the upper front teeth. And then the crown of the head is pushing up towards the ceiling, just gently. And now go ahead and relax the posture just by 10%. Good. And now we're going to do a body scan. And the body scan is important because it helps us go ahead and kind of touch into the body so that we stay embodied, feeling the emotions during the meditation. And again, I think to some extent, it's the depth of the emotions. Partly it's the depth of the emotions that helps with the repatterning, because we want to have a strong, positive emotional experience. Okay. So feeling the feet legs, and hips. And notice how the feet, legs, and hips relax on their own. And now feeling the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now notice how effortless and easeful that is. Notice how there's a tension on the in-breath and a deeper relaxation on the out-breath. And this helps you settle. And now bring your attention to the chest. Notice the expansion and contraction of the chest. And notice how there's an ease with all this, the rising and falling, the expansion, contraction, all happens with very little effort. And now feeling the shoulders and upper back. And now feel the hands and the arms. Really feeling very embodied and progressively settling and relaxing more and more as you go. And now feeling the head, neck, and face. Okay, good. And now take a deep, deep breath and feel the whole body all at once. Now exhale, feeling the whole body exhale and relax. And there's this quality of dissolution, total allowing and acceptance. And now just feel that for one moment. Feel this quality of complete, unconditional acceptance and non-resistance in this moment. Good. And now we're going to do a few minutes of loving kindness meditation. This will help us understand how we will have the inner parents reparent us. So bring to mind an easy to love object, either a pet or a child that you have a uncomplicated loving relationship with. And this doesn't even have to be a child or a pet in your own life. It can be from fantasy, from the movies, from a cartoon. So now bring to mind this easy to love object. And now see how both of you are looking at each other very sweetly. You're making eye contact. And go ahead and send loving kindness towards this easy to love object. May you be happy. May you be happy. And now really feel this. Actually bring a smile to the face. Feel the smile in the body. And also notice how this quality of love, acceptance, receptivity, responsiveness is mutual. Imagine in the scene that you're pupils actually dilate, that the pupils of the beloved actually dilate. You know, you're just both so receptive to each other. That's right, keep going. May you be happy. Okay. And now, imagine that you, as a child, take the place of the beloved. So your inner child takes the place of the beloved object. And now imagine either one responsive parent, so imaginal responsive parent, taking your place, or two parents, and that now they're sending you loving kindness. See how trustworthy the delight is. Feel how safe and secure you are.
also get this real sense that you can just be yourself. See how no matter what comes up for you, you will be taken in and loved, accepted, cared for. See the details of that in the scene right now. Also notice the responsiveness, the calibration, the attentiveness. You're totally seen and known. And now notice how this assures you of the quality of the care, of the trustworthiness of the care that you will receive from them. It's also attuned and calibrated. And also let me remind you that the felt sense is much more important than the actual visuals. So really focus on the felt sense. The visuals just support the felt sense. Okay, now make a deep impression of all of this. Really see this, feel this, take this in. Now dissolve that scene. And now bring to mind the implicit, so the negative implicit learning that you're gonna try to unlearn. So that is, you know, the negative schema. So let me give you some examples of that, and then you can bring that up, trigger yourself, and then we'll keep working. So could be like defectiveness and shame, fear and mistrust, a sense of not having enough, not having enough love, support, even kind of this emotional sense of not having enough, even money to survive. Could be a sense of social isolation. Could be a sense of incompetence. Dependence. Okay, so, or a sense of like not being able to follow through and get things done, so a sense of failure, or a sense of an indistinct, not separate self, a self that's enmeshed. So go ahead and pick one of those, or some other activation that's come up over the last week, and now get yourself triggered. So go over the image thoughts, go over the auditory thoughts, and have that trigger an emotional reaction in the body and in the mind. So take a minute with that now. Okay. And now, think back, when was the first time that I experienced this? When was the first time I experienced this in a very salient kind of way that really impressed this emotional learning into me? And now this does not have to be an actual explicit episodic memory. This can just be a felt sense memory. So now go ahead and float back to that time when you experienced this negative emotional learning for the first time very clearly. And again, if it's an actual traumatic scene, just go in after the trauma. Don't go into the trauma itself. Reviewing the image thoughts, the auditory thoughts, the memories from this scene and getting triggered. Okay. And now, bring these inner responsive parents into the scene and have them simply meet your needs and reparent you. They might first start with protecting you, letting you know that you're safe. So go ahead and feel that now. Also, get the clear sense that you're seen and known, that you're received and calibrated to by these inner parents. They see what happened, and they see how upsetting this was to you. There's this quality of complete spaciousness and permission so that you can have your full experience. And now notice how they console you. They soothe you. They help you work through this suffering, assuring you that it's totally normal, that this would be upsetting to anyone. You didn't deserve this kind of treatment. You didn't deserve that this happened to you. They also assure you that this will not happen again going forward. You're with them now. Just keep developing the scene. You know, shape the scene in such a way that you really get your needs met. Also seeing how this is a joy for these parents to meet your needs. You're a joy. So clear there's nothing wrong with you. That this was just an upsetting situation. And that you're going to work through it just fine. And also these inner parents might explain things to you about the scene to help you see how it's not your fault, how you don't need to carry this anymore, that this is fundamentally the responsibility of the other person, and that you can kind of let this go. But they don't rush you at all. And now notice how your moment by moment experience is responded to. There's this attentiveness that you're supported all the way. And there's this clear sense that you're accompanied. You're not alone in this at all. You'll never be alone. Just keep going with that. And if you notice that you're really starting to calm down and settle a bit more, then you can go back, touch back into this negative scene where this problematic learning happened, get triggered again just a bit. And then once again, be received and responded to in just the right way by these inner parents. They see any remnant amount of suffering or emotional dysregulation, and they know just how to help you work through that. Keep going with that. It's also very clear, all this is in the past. You're not going to have to deal with this anymore. You have a bright future. Things are going to work out. You have these parents that are going to see to that, that are going to help you. So get this real sense of this being contextualized in time and it being in your past, and that things will work out going forward. So just keep developing the scene. And also, if there's any resistance to the meditation, resistance to the process, have that be seen and known, received and responded to in a very sweet and calibrated way. It's so clear that every part of you is so welcome. And now, if you're starting to be pretty emotionally regulated and soothed around this, Now consider touching back into this negative schema and then finding a different scene where this learning was reinforced, this negative learning. Go back into that, getting triggered again, and then repeating the process after you're sufficiently triggered of having these inner parents receive you and respond to you in such a way to help you move through this. So go ahead and do that now if you like, if that's what's appropriate for you. That's right, keep going. Really seeing how these inner parents respond in just the right way to what your needs are. So attentively. Letting you know that it'll all be all right. And now see if there's just any bit of upset left around this. And then now notice how these inner parents see that and help you work through that. Seeing how the response and the receptivity is just so to help you work through this last remaining bit of it. That's right. Keep going. And now just to really further confirm that this has been reprocessed. Now you and your inner responsive parents float back in time to one of the scenes that you were working on. And now your parents confront the situation or the person that created this suffering in you. They let this person know, this was not right. You shouldn't have treated my child this way. This was actually your responsibility. And now the other person that was treated you negatively is very small. And now you and these inner responsive parents are very big. There's nothing threatening about this scene at all. And now, so these parents are kind of lecturing somewhat sternly, but in a very confident, clear way, this person that didn't treat you right. And now this person that didn't treat you right sees this, they understand. Now, this doesn't have to be realistic whatsoever, so just go with this. And now this person that treated you this way really understands, and now they actually apologize. They say, I'm sorry. I had a lot of negative conditioning in my life. I learned a lot of toxic lessons from the way that I was raised. And I was just acting out of that place of ignorance, totally insensitive to you and your needs. This was my fault. I should have dealt with this beforehand, but instead I made you responsible, which wasn't right. I see how problematic this was and how this hurt you. And that's unfortunate. I'm really sorry about this. And now, you and the inner parents, so now these inner parents, they soothe you. So now you start kind of floating away from the scene, floating back into the present moment. And then these inner parents once again soothe you. They help you see how this wasn't your fault. This was the other person's fault. They also teach you a little bit about causal relationships, causal unfoldings. How that this is nothing personal to you. This was just a negative learning that you just incidentally learned because of the situation. They show you in a way that's very convincing and compelling to you that you're blameless. None of this was your fault. So go ahead and develop this mini scene now. And now notice this quality of wisdom and perspective. You really see. And also now notice how there's a sense of healing. There's a sense of having worked through this. Also, get the sense that you worked through it. That you now know how to work through any of your conditioning. That there's a sense of real confidence and competence kind of crystallizing for you. You've overcome this suffering. You've repatterned it. Also notice this quality of unconditional positive regard with which your inner parents see you. Notice how you have all this support. Notice how you're a joy to these parents. And so now, look into the future. Do like a mini movie trailer of your life going forward. Inasmuch as that you're feeling so much better, inasmuch as you've overcome this negative learning, and to an appreciable extent won't have to deal with it anymore. You see how your life will unfold really well. So now see yourself stepping into your life, doing things that are meaningful to you, having a real impact on the world, both the material and interpersonal world. So go ahead and develop that scene for just a minute now. Also, notice how much lighter you are. You're not walking around with this heavy conditioning that you had at the beginning of the meditation. You're more agile and responsive. You're really clear-headed. You know what you want, you go right after it. Really feel this in the body, feel it in the mind. Good. Now dissolve that scene. And now go back to this suffering that you worked through. See how it's common to others. There are so many others that experience the same suffering. They've suffered in the same way. And now see how you're not alone in this suffering whatsoever. Also, see how you've worked through it a bit. And then, so you have this new perspective and you can understand now that you're kind of outside the suffering, no longer in it, you can see with a greater perspective. There's this like quality of spacious perspective taking. You can see how this affects others in a very similar way. And you know they're suffering. You've experienced it. So just on the in-breath, reflect on the suffering of all beings in this way. And on the out-breath, wish them peace, well-being. Send them the desire that they overcome the suffering, that they work through it. And all the while feeling this complete sense of connectedness, shared experience. Good. Making a deep impression of this quality of understanding and compassion for self and other. And now just for 30 seconds, we're going to do mindful review. So look back. What was this like? What did you learn? What were the insights? review these. You know, you see how this conditioning you got is not yours to carry anymore. You see how it's very common. You see how you're not to blame for it. You also see how you have a much broader, inclusive view. And now notice how you can't help but feel more empowered, more efficacious in your life. You feel lighter, stronger. Okay, good. Now letting that go, trusting that it has imprinted deeply into your being. And now bring the attention to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Feeling very embodied as you do that. And now open the eyes halfway. Continuing to follow the rising and falling of the abdomen. And now open the eyes entirely. Continuing to follow the rising and the falling of the abdomen. And then let that go and come back into the room and be present. Okay, so I've got to run in about 3 minutes. We can take a few questions. Questions or comments, practice reports. So how did that go for people?
This was very strong, and I liked it very much. So thank you very much.
Sure, sure. Thank you, Janet. Okay, yeah, any other? Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have similar feedback too. It was a very powerful one for me. And I was working with the issue of my hearing impairment. And being having empathetic parents who were considerate of that. So it was really, really helpful for me.
Yeah, great report, Eve. Go ahead. Let's go to Simon right now. So one moment, Vera. Go ahead and speak up, Simon.
Yeah, thank you very much for today. I wanted to ask one thing because I opened my eyes for a moment in the middle of it. And I saw that you had closed eyelids and were moving your eyes back and forth. And I sort of thought that maybe this is somehow related to EMDR therapy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask if so, could you share the trick or
how
you use it?
Yeah. So this is just my view based on what I know. So please take this with a grain of salt and kind of contextualize. But I heard Andrew Huberman, who's a neuroscientist, talk about how moving the eyes back and forth stimulates, I forget what part of the brain it is, that gives you that kind of gives you the sense of working through something, and that this is kind of mimicked in when you're on a walk. You know how like walking is very soothing? Like, you know how if you get really upset and then you go on a walk and you think about it, that you kind of, it really helps process it. Well, so what they think is that this kind of like when you walk, you naturally do this with it, like with the steps to kind of also assess where you're going in space. And so it gives this quality of that you're actually moving through, like literally you're moving through space and you're literally moving through a problem as well. And so
And I've also been facilitated in EMDR a fair amount. So now I just do it naturally. And then I'm not yet really recommending it to others, but I actually think it's fine and it's helpful. And then, yeah, so for whatever that's worth. But if you have a follow-up or so is that speaking to your question?
Yeah, maybe just one follow-up. If you could maybe recommend some sources to read on EMDR.
There's a lot of good stuff out there, but to this particular issue, I'd just look up, Andrew Huberman, EMDR eye movement. And I know that he particularly did a lot of research on the eyes and the brain and how they interact. So it seems frankly quite credible what he has to say about it. But then I know also, I think I'm remembering all this correctly, Laurel Parnell, Attachment and EMDR is a really good book. And she actually talks about ideal mothers and ideal fathers in that book. And so it's kind of quite well contextualized to what you're asking about.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure, sure. My pleasure.
Good answer.
Sure. Vera, go ahead and speak up.
Yeah, thank you, Cedric. It's very soothing and settling. So if I understand it, when we are triggered, we'll have to have a loving person to self-regulate us. With the visualizing loving person, we get self-regulated. And then we'll have to visualize a trigger that we got triggered and traumatized, had an overwhelming faith. And once we are clear about it, then we need to move towards observing, feeling, naming needs, and inviting inner parents to come and see that those needs are met and reassured. Is that the understanding?
That totally works. Yep, that's good. Mm-hmm. That works.
Yep. Yeah. And then see that how it goes into the body, and then relax, and then again re-enter the trigger and see every time we re-enter, the intensity reduces.
That should be the case. And what you're trying to do is get it down to zero. Yep.
Yeah. And it can happen only in 3-4 rounds, or it can go up to more rounds also?
Okay, this is a really good question, actually. I think that it really, geez. Okay, one thing is I think as you, this is a little bit complicated. So as you kind of move from insecure attachment to secure attachment, especially for people that are disorganized moving towards secure, you really increase your kind of like, emotional metabolism. So as you get better at this, so like as you actually get better at the visualization and hallucinating the felt sense of all of this, because this is like a completely fabricated, and I want to be absolutely clear, we are fabricating here. But so as you get better at fabricating this, and as it gets more kind of imprinted in to your emotional learning system, then you're able to move through this stuff more quickly. That's one. And then also, it depends on kind of the emotional learning. And I think also it would likely depend on when in your kind of development you learned it. Like if it's like a learning from 8 months of age, 4 months, a year of age. I think it's typically, I'm not sure about this, but typically it might be a little bit deeper. And so it might take lots and lots of rounds. But then let me just assure you of the utility of like continuing to just hammer at it, right? Because each time you work at it, understand this, that you're getting better at self-regulation generally. You're getting better at the meditation generally. And you're banging away at this conditioning. Like there are things that I've probably done, let's say 10 hours of these kind of practices on, and they're overwhelmingly gone at this point, but they're even still there to just to a minor extent. So what I'm trying to say is that it might take many, 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 many rounds, but just please get the sense that it's worth it, because when you do move through it, it's gone, and you have a new learning, a new like consolidated working model for how that is, and it's really stable. So keep going. Is that speaking to your question?
Yeah, it speaks to me. Yeah. So only thing is, the modality that you have applied, is it IFS or is it, how do we go deep into understanding it? Have you put in process work here? Have you brought up IFS or some kind of?
Well, I haven't brought up IFS. I haven't. Okay.
So what it means is that the parents will be reassuring us repeatedly, and then having that reassuring talk conversation with us more often is what the essence of this meditation.
Yeah, absolutely, right. And also, I love how just rote it is. It just, you keep going through it. It's like, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. So let me take Julia's question, and then let's. I've got to run. I'm afraid I have another obligation. And thank you, Vera. And then Julia, go ahead and speak up.
Small thing, Cedric, is this eye movement thing can be also applied whenever. We can do it. This eye movement also.
It can be. Yep, that's right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Julia.
Hi, Cedric. Just do you have like 1 minute left or 2 minutes, or just so that I'm mindful of that?
A minute or two. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I think I've been. I was working on. Reshaping like a negative messaging that I got growing up that sort of, you know, romance was unreal and not to be expected.
I somehow or another got that as well. Go ahead.
you got that as in you experienced that yourself, you mean? And you know, which jars completely with my own nature. I was working on with changing that with my internalized parents and sort of getting them to be this, you know, just desperately in love couple.
Oh yeah, seeing that model, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and getting them to. Basically be like reflecting back to me that I was so lovingly responsive back to them as my parents that allowed them to deepen even their love for each other through.
I wouldn't have you give, in a sense, like anything that you do, like give them permission, but just, I would say, like, do it to where you see what they're doing. You see how like at ease they are in romance and all that. And how collaborative they are. And then you get like, you have this deep sense that this imprints on you and gives you this deep, deep permission for you to do it yourself as an adult. You wouldn't want to do it like as a child. That would be weird, but yeah.
Got it. What would you mean, not as a child? Sorry.
You would want to see the learning of like, you're getting the permission to be like romantically involved. But you just would want to do that then as an adult. Like, you could do then a scene where you're at ease with and like very fluent with romance, but then you would just want to do that as an adult, not a child, obviously.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Thank you.
Good. Okay. All right. I've got to run, y'all. Thank you all so much. You know, we're going to keep going with these meditations. Invite anybody else that you think would benefit. And okay. All right. See you all.
Bye-bye. Is it available? Recording is available, Cedric, somewhere we can
access it? Yes, on the resource tab on attachmentrepair.com.
Okay, I will view that. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. See you all.
Love you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.